Welcome to the Not Very Spiritual podcast. Are you tired of the same old shit? Feeling a bit fucked and ready for a change? If that sounds like you or someone you know, you're in the right place. My mission is to help inspire not very spiritual people like myself to find a new way to live and enjoy life. I'm Tom, an electrician and breathwork facilitator from North Wales. In this podcast series, I'll be sharing with you my entire authentic being and providing you with my honest, open life journey as I get real, vulnerable, and discuss my long battle with addictions. I'll provide insight into how my wild, party animal lifestyle has eventually led to years of freedom from alcohol and drug dependency by working a daily 12-step program. Combining this with meditation and now breathwork, this has gradually transformed my reality into a more serene and spiritual way of living. I'm really happy that you're here. Let's keep getting better together. Welcome to the Not Very Spiritual podcast, episode 7. So today we're going to be looking at step 6 of a 12-step program, which sounds something along the lines of this. Step 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Now, if this is the first time you're listening to me, it's advisable to go back to step 1, because otherwise it won't make any sense. What I'm doing, my why for this podcast and for my mission is to try and make 12-step programs attractive for people, not very spiritual people like myself, and it will help you find a way to heal everything that you've been through in your life and get you to live in a more spiritual way, which is alien to most people. And if I try and start telling people to get into breath work and go to yoga retreats and do all this other stuff when they spent most of the time previously in the pub, then it's not going to work. However, when you're coming into 12-step program, you get scared by a lot of things and it doesn't make any sense. So I'm hoping that even one person will listen to my podcast and get themselves to their nearest 12-step fellowship for whatever it is that they're doing that's making their lives unpleasant. And then you can, once you're free from your addiction or behaviour, you can start living in a more productive way. You'll have a support network that you never had before, and you'll be so self-aware, and you'll be on this self-healing journey. It's lifelong, you know, you don't just go to a meeting and you're like, awesome, I'm fixed, see you later, and crack back on. You know, it's a lifelong journey, it's a healing journey, and will be, if you're in a fellowship, you get support every step of the way, because it's not going to be easy. Some of my hardest days, including right now in my life, have been during my recovery, you know, and you're left without your old crutch, which was, you know, the drink, the drugs, the gambling, whatever destructive behaviour it was to make you feel better inside or alleviate that human suffering that all of us go through. We've all got our own ways of doing things. And in recovery, you no longer have that lifeline. You've literally got to feel everything. You've got to sit with everything. You can't just neck a load of beers and go, oh, thank fuck, I can get through the next few hours, or oh, just have a quick joint or a line, or just gonna get that bet, that lucky win that's gonna make me feel better. Oh, yeah, quick, this next bird, this next bloke, you know, this whatever, this next relationship that you need to rush into. Just oh yeah, somebody loves me. You've got to fucking sit with everything. You've got to sit with those feelings. You've got to go and sit with your weird behaviours and your weird thinking, and just got to be. You've just got to be human being. You've just got to sit with it all. And it's, if you've been, like many of us, running away from yourself for a very long time, it's a very, very hard thing to do. you know, because most likely the people around us have been running and running and running for ourselves, but it's fucking our duty, you know, so we don't pass all our shit on to our kids and, you know, affect those around us. It's our duty to heal. I mean that. And it's painful. It's fucking hard, mate, because a lot of the time you are the chosen one to deal with fucking generations upon generations of pain that's just been passed down and down and down. And it hits you. You're the chosen one. And as hard as it is, you better fucking sit with it. You better feel those feelings because, you know, the biggest honor you can do for yourself, for everybody who's come before you, is to be the one to feel all the feelings that have just been passed down and to heal all those behaviors. It's a fucking honor. It's an honor to everybody who's come before you. I mean that. It's a fucking honor to be the chosen one to fucking take on that, all that healing, right? So you better fucking heal. You better be that fucking one. Fucking stand up to it. Man up. Woman up. Stand up and just fucking feel it. Be the fucking one in your family who's got the fucking guts and the fucking courage, yeah? It's your fucking duty to do that so you don't fucking pass any shit onto your kids. Continue this crazy way of being. It's a fucking honour to be in this situation, yeah? God's fucking chosen ones to do the healing, because I'm telling you, the fucking tidal wave of shit that is coming towards us in this next 10 years, if these fucking weirdos running things won't get what they want, we need to be fucking tough. I mean it. We need to be fucking healed in every spiritual way we can, because there's a fucking tidal wave of wank en route. So this is why we need to be fucking spiritual machines. We need to be fucking tough cookies, I'm telling you. And if it's you, if you're the chosen one in your fucking lineage, step the fuck up, because it's time. It's time to fucking get better, because nobody else is coming along. And they've showed us what's fucking going to potentially be fucking happening in a few years. So now's the time. Now's the fucking time, I'm telling you. So get back on that fucking episode. Get on the healing journey and fucking start sorting it out, because it's going to be tough. Went on one then anyway. So episode 7, step 6. By now, we should have experienced some hope and relief from working the previous 5 steps, you know, learning a lot about ourselves, and there should be some positive changes in our lives internally and externally, and we will have developed some humility on this difficult journey. You know, we're not that shit, we're not that great, just a bit in between, you know, and we will have identified and understood some of our destructive behaviours, and we can now understand all we've been doing is just repeating useless, out-of-date patterns to deal with our emotions over and over and over and over again, probably for generations and generations and generations from both sides of the family, just two people coming together with bags full of shit, and then offspring, right, who's going to take on the shit? Who's going to feel it? Splat, splat, splat. No, I'm not doing that. Nope, I'm doing that. And then eventually, you know, it can land on you and you're like, fuck, all that weight of generations of wank, and you're the one to fucking step up, start doing the healing. At least that's my take on it. Maybe that's my ego trying to build things up, but that's how it's been described of me. And then you'll tell when something is right, because you just feel it in your gut. Anyway, negative spiral of wankiness. That's what I wrote down. And that's what happens when we're just repeating the same shite. So the so-called definition of insanity, repeating the same mistakes and expecting different results. And that's all we've been doing, repeating the same mistakes. So in this step, we have to become entirely ready to have these character defects that we've discovered, highlight and being made aware of in the previous steps, or character defences. Some people don't like character defects because they're like, what? No, it's a defect in my character. They call it a character defect. Defense then. So it's something that you've developed to defend yourself or protect yourself. And, you know, they might have been useful at some point, but now if you've stopped doing the crazy behaviors or the substances or whatever it is, we need to remove them because they're just useless parts of our being that we need to get rid of. So, like the rest of the steps, this isn't an instant resolution or a process. Our brains and personalities are programmed to respond to feelings, situation, and circumstances in a certain way. And through our life experiences, we've been wiring these pathways to deal with our emotions and deal with the stimulus coming into us with a certain way or a certain behavior. And it might have worked on a playground when we're 7, but, you know, or it might have worked when we're 14. But, you know, as we get to adults and adulthood, we're still behaving like that inner child who developed a certain way of doing things to deal with this emotion. So the way I think of it, and my therapist told me this, and I quite like it, therapy, yeah. Not just the 12 steps dolls, you know, we're all therapy down here. Pretentious little wankers on therapy dolls. So basically, imagine you're walking through a jungle for years and years. Eventually, you'll make clear routes through the jungle. So there'll be treaded paths. And, you know, when you get to the jungle, you're going to walk on the paths that are already being trodden for you. And that's what happens in the brain. There's all these pathways that are just already wired, hardwired from birth. So if you start trying to go a different way through the jungle, you're going to have smack in the face, branches, nettles stinging you, blum, 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 bloody bugs everywhere, smack, bang, bang, bang. And that is what happens when we put down the drink, the drugs, when we stop behaving in a certain way, we're going to get smacked in the face because it's going to be triggering. We're going to be having to try and do things not the way that we've done it before. And this is what this step is all about. It's about getting rid of our old way of doing things and, you know, trying to find a new path, a new way of doing things. I like that. You know, so think of this. You're going to get smacked in the face, branches in the face, as you're getting rid of these old useless ways of doing things, rewiring new ways. It's going to have some trouble, but eventually all we're doing now is we've identified what we're doing wrong and become willing. Are we willing to start living a different way? Are we ready for God to remove those old ways of doing things and doing things a new way? And it ain't going to be easy, and I struggle on a daily process. So we need to rewire our brain. It's not a simple exercise. You're going to be triggered to fuck a lot of the time, and I'm still acting out on a lot of my main defects. And it's even worse when I'm in my head. Like, if I've not meditated, if I've not done a meeting, if I've not spoken to people, I'm just acting out on my old childhood ways of doing things, or my earlier life. Not necessarily all of them developed in childhood, you know. Some of mine developed within the last 10 years, you know, in the addictions, isolation, avoidance. But my most painful and impactful defects, which are common with many other addicts, are isolation, avoidance, and impulsivity. They're my three major fucking things that I really struggle with and I act out on a lot. So the beauty is, in this step, once we are aware of these patterns and the specifics of each defect or each defense, it becomes more and more clearer. You get so much self-awareness. When we do act out, it causes pain. It causes this like this icky feeling inside of you. And we slowly become more able to identify and stop the outdated, useless behaviors we are carrying out. And it's just like an old malfunctioning computer. It's just, right, stop those old ways of doing things. That's what we need to do. You're going to go easy on yourself, like with the rest of the steps. You're going to slip up. You're going to repeat your older mistakes. But slowly, with time and with practice, you can move away from those old patterns, rewire new neural pathways, better, more healthy, kind and loving patterns of behavior. And we truly begin to learn from our mistakes. And this is when miracles begin to take place. And this is when, you know, if we old, outdated behavior, everything inside of us, inside of our brain, is going to want to carry on that behavior because it's hardwired. But then with a bit of awareness, working with this step, practicing and the following step, once we're aware of exactly what we're doing, we'll learn more about their behavior. We'll learn so much about ourselves. Then eventually you go to act out and it'll be this, oh, sick feeling. Shall I do that? Oh, don't like that. I'm going to have to try a different way. And, you know, with recovery and with other people, you can find what, okay, we have the same defects. What do you do to stop doing that behavior? You know, and you can, it can be simple as much as a simple plan. Like I isolate and avoid a lot. So I make a conscious effort, right? I'm going to start booking social events to do, because my way to keep myself safe is to sit in on my own. But you know, I'm in a relationship now and they aren't an addict and they aren't acting out on these behaviors. They have their own stuff going on, but they live a normal life. So for a relationship to work, you need to be able to socialize and do these things. But everything for me wants me to stay in on my own, disconnected, isolated and alone. So you have to be like, right, okay, as hard as it is, fucking hard for me to be around people, even my own fucking family who've known me since day dot, I struggle to be around because I'm in fight or flight mode. Who likes going in fight or flight mode? Nobody. But eventually you start developing more and more useful, healthy behaviors and you slowly wing your way off that. You find your tribe, you find your safe people, and you know, you slowly learn to get out of that. And this is when, you know, the miracles take place, and when your family start noticing things and the positive changes the program has. Like I didn't have Christmas dinner with anybody in my entire family for a long time, and I found the furthest place anybody could possibly go in the history of the world. I am literally might as well have driven to the Arctic North Pole to get as far away I've got. And I'm down this little fucking road in the middle of nowhere. Two kids have spotted me and they've literally on the rollerblades around there or whatever they're on. I can't look because I'm trying to film a thing and they're playing with the sheep in some farmer's field right down the middle of nowhere. Why, God, are you letting me practice principles of patience and tolerance? Because I can hear him, you see, because this microphone is picking stuff up in wherever that radio wave came from, 80 trillion light years away or whatever bullshit was in the news. That is probably this fucking microphone that could find it. Anyway, so I'm getting distracted out my right-hand side with two kids and two sheep. Anyway, went off-piste again there. So yeah, but then your family notice it. I didn't spend Christmas dinner with my family for years. I mean, 4 or 5 years, I was totally on my own because I couldn't even deal with that. And then the past two Christmases, I've been able to be with my family, not freak out, enjoy a Christmas dinner and all that. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing when these things start happening. So anyway, if you're not already in a 12-step program and you're just listening along, listening to me ramble, I always do a kind of short, quick thing that was from a presentation. So step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. That's basically revealed a lot of messed up patterns. Do you seriously want to stop? Here's some questions to do for anybody just wanting to listen in and not doing the full thing. Here's a basic one. Why do I do these behaviors? If I stop, how will my life improve? Maybe get a pen and paper, write these down, and after the podcast or now, pause it between, just write some bullet points, whatever. If I stop, how will my life improve? Am I ready to let go of this old pattern of behavior? Yes or no. Am I willing to let go of my self-centered aspects? Yes or no. Am I willing to use a new plan for my life? Yes or no. Am I willing to accept there are more powerful forces in the universe than me? Yes or no. So anyway, in the rest of this episode, we'll be looking, we always break the step down into more manageable chunks. We are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So first of all, we'll be looking at entirely ready, then to have God remove, then our defects of character, and that's it. And then we'll look at spiritual principles and moving on to the next step, because 6 and 7 are very closely linked. So entirely ready, it's like fucking hell, it's like Piccadilly Circus round here now. Got white sheep, black sheep, kids, families, dogs, fucking giraffe will be up next. Totes profesh. But anyway, what I started doing, because I always needed fizzy drinks and cordial, because I'm doing Eddie's diet, cutting out the sugar and shit. What I started doing, I've got one of these Fox water filters, PHOX water filters. I've had that for about 18 months. Plastic, refillable, so you don't have to throw the filters away. You just refill the filters, sachets come. And I have one for my normal water that fills the kettle. Get rid of all that fluoride and all those fucking metal shitty wanks that make everybody ill. And then I have one in the fridge. So I have ice cold, like chilled fridge water. And what I've started doing, got rid of the cordial, just buy loads of fucking lemons and limes, like a quarter of a lemon, squeeze it so you get all the juice out, pour that in the bottom of the glass, cold water, and it just makes a nice little lemon water. Anyway, so entirely ready. So some of our crazy and wild personality traits will be so obvious after getting to this stage of your recovery that we will be immediately ready, like last decade ready, to rid ourselves of them. You know, for me, like I mentioned, my isolation and avoidance, that became more and more painful and highlighted in addiction. It was so painful, I couldn't wait to be rid of it. Because, like, yeah, I used to be so popular in school and all my other social lives, you know, and I was always a bit of a class clown. Everybody knew me and stuff like that. To go from one extreme of having hundreds of friends to being totally on your own was really, really difficult. And it's still wired in my brain, so it's lurking in the background. And it's difficult as well because isolation could be so peaceful and so beautiful after living a chaotic life. It's difficult to distinguish between what's healthy and not, because my natural tendency is just to do everything on my own. Like, for example, most people have lots of visitors and lots of friends, and it's normal to speak to people a lot of the time. And somebody close to me had said not long ago that they were really struggling. Some days they don't even have any visitors. I was like, some days? Some fucking years? That is no word of a lie. I've gone years without having anybody round. Probably for a decade, I reckon, apart from in relationships, I reckon. And this is not being in victim mode. This is because of my own isolation and avoidance and everything like that. I've gone fucking years with nobody coming round to see me. So I was thinking, look at the extremes there. Oh, some days I don't even have any visitors. I'm thinking, fucking hell, mate. Fucking some years I've not had anybody round. And that's like, it's like from one extreme to the other, you know. So we then might have some fear of losing parts of our character defects. Like I personally, I thought I absolutely loved being impulsive. Like sometimes I'd go out on a session. If I had money, I'd be thinking, fuck it. The next morning, I'd book a flight and I'd be to Ibiza or to some fucking festival. And then next thing, I'd be in another country on my own, fucking absolutely wrecked. And I was adamant that I loved being impulsive. And oh, I just love it because it's great. Like, because one minute you just get an idea and you just fucking go for it. And it's just fucking great. And I'm still exactly the same. Bit with this podcast, get an idea, fucking go for it. The universe, the higher power, whatever you want to call it, kind of showed to me what impulsivity does. And it's happened loads of times. Like, I went to Ibiza on a whim one time on my own and I was still in the party stage. I ended up just getting wrecked in a hotel room for like 5 days, paranoid, thinking I was going to get stabbed and murdered and all that. Then I had it on a snowboarding holiday to Germany. I literally booked it. And then the next day, I drove 700 kilometres, about 450 miles I drove. Drove for 13 hours straight. Cost me a load of money just on an idea. Anyway, I got to Munich from the Netherlands. I'd had an email from the hotel saying that they'd actually sold out the place. So that's what, you know, and there was nowhere else for the same price with the same deal anywhere in Europe. That's no word of a lie. There was nowhere. So they did refund me and compensated me. But, you know, that was a really scary trip because it was really bad conditions. And just the amount of stupid things I've done, like got impulsive with an ex-partner. And then next thing, they're on a plane to come and visit me. And, you know, then somebody that you hadn't seen for a long time is with you for 10 days. And there's a reason why you ended. And it was a slap in the face about what impulsivity does. And the same with holidays, with event tickets, with like the amount of races that I've signed. Oh yeah, I'm going a couple of 5K runs. Yeah, I'm going fucking machine again, mate. I'm an absolute machine. Off I go, booking a fucking 100-kilometer ultra marathon in the fucking Antarctic with no training. 100 quid gone, exaggeration, but that kind of thing, you know. So we may feel that we will lose our cool, hip identity and turn into an unrecognisable Stormy Norman. And we may like our crazy wild side, or at least we think so ourselves. But remember, we are absolutely fucking nuts. We are bonkers, and we shouldn't take our own advice about anything with anything more than a pinch of salt, because often we're a bit fucking bonkers. So just trust in the process, commit to the process, reaffirm your commitment and your hope and trust in recovery. And remember your why, and that is the future version of ourselves, who we want to be. You know, the good family member, the good partner, the good parent, the good son or daughter or colleague or whatever. You know, we don't want to be the person causing the dramas anymore. We want to be the person who's the solution to the dramas, you know. To have God removed. And this is where we have to rely on our evolving beliefs. And this can only be done with faith and trust. And once it happens, once you are being triggered and walking through the fear or the pain, you know, once you start behaving in a certain way without even thinking about it, and once you're able to stop in the moment when you are about to act out on an old defect or an old character defense, old trait, you unexpectedly choose a different, more useful manner in which to act, then you will be able to witness firsthand that something is working. Maybe you can't explain it, but you will experience it, and out of nowhere, bosh, another eureka moment in your spiritual evolution. Believe it or not, in just simply identifying our wrongs or our defect is actually a real benefit moving forwards, because with practice, with patience, with trust and faith, we can slowly begin living in a better way. Once you know what you're doing wrong and it's an issue and you can see why, you need to take regular surrender to life on life's terms. Something might happen. Something might trigger the life out of you. Instead of just getting angry or running away from it or doing whatever you'd usually do, you stop, you reflect, take a regular pause, a breath when you're triggered. And sometimes, you know, the best thing we can do is just stop. It's going to be all horrible in there. It's going to be all weird. You're going to either want to fight or run away or do whatever you usually do, just disassociate, forget about it. Then that God moment, that moment of pause, you check your motives, think about this step. Wait there, is this an old useful way I'm going to do? And then you can reevaluate. Sometimes I get triggered in group situations, like regularly, and my instant thought is to run away. But now, more and more, often it might only be 30 seconds of discomfort. Right, I'm just going to get through this 30 seconds. And through this 30 seconds, I'm just going to focus on my breathing and forget about everything else in there. I'm going to, you know, touch my fingers, make sure that I'm in my body, and I'm just going to totally forget about everything, wait for the fear to pass. And then before you know it, you're like high-fiving yourself. Fuck yes, you legend, L-E-G-E-N-D, absolute ledge. You have smashed life right there. You didn't set on fire. You didn't die. And you just smashed life. You just sat there feeling a bit uncomfortable. Nobody pointed and laughed at you. Nobody made you humiliated. You didn't get some fucking, the whole world go insane and go on 10 o'clock news. Nothing happened. Stood there and the situation passed and nobody died. It wasn't the worst moment of your life. You just had an old wound come up and then life just continued and that's it. And you're like, even though it's a tiny win, it's fucking massive when shit like that happens. So check your motives, reflect and reevaluate in the moment. So remember, you'll usually revert back to our programming. We'll want to go and do the old thing. So this part of the step, as many likenesses, it's very alike the initial ways where we surrender to our addictions, or the behavior or whatever weird it was. We're surrendering to our behavior. So it's very similar to the first step. So we have to admit that we have these unpleasant but really powerful parts of our character. We admit that we need help with removing them, and we use this to prepare ourselves for them to be removed in the seventh step. Our surrender deepens in this step. We increase our trust in our higher power and slowly watch these changes occur, and so will those around you. I mean, like, everybody in my family and close to me has noticed massive positive changes, and it's really beautiful. So our defects of character, despite all the work, the inventory, the getting real and honest about ourselves, we may not be entirely clear about the nature and the why, when, how, where, and who our character defects are, and what is the difference between them and our character. What is the difference between our character defects and our character? Our personality structures, you know, they're extremely complex. So we will, however, be somewhat clearer than before we work the step. And this step is all about raising awareness of them to become entirely ready to have them removed. So all we're doing really is just analysing our inventory, picking out our defects, you know, find out what yours are. And these defects are basically identifiers of our basic nature, and they are not too dissimilar from anyone else we meet. They'll all come from, you know, a spectrum of these different behaviors, and some will be extreme and some will be not so extreme, and we're all just on this spectrum of these traits that are very prevalent with our character for whatever reason. So we have human needs like every other human on the earth, and we try our best to get these needs met, which can be extremely tricky as life goes by, depending on our circumstances and experiences. So our basic human needs can become distorted on our path, and what we should be as humans, which is loving, selfless, in this backwards, upside down, crazy society that we've just happened to land in, we can turn to more selfishness and self-centered behavior to protect ourselves. But we need to revert that and, you know, get back to the more loving and selfless way. Hopefully, this is what I'm trying to do with this, introducing people to get into a 12-step program. So what I did, as agreed with my sponsor, was we found a list of all the character defects online. So I can send it to anybody or post it somewhere, and on the YouTube channel, which should be going live in the summer, I'll put a link and everything like that. And what we did was use like a traffic light system. So off the top of my head, I couldn't find it. I know it's somewhere, but there was about 120 to 130 of these character defects just listed down. Printed them all out, highlighted in green the good ones that didn't need any attention. So anything that I didn't think that was relevant to me, just put as a green. Then amber for those defects that I had sometimes acted out on, occasionally, or at some point in my life acted out on. And then finally, code red situation. These were the defects that needed my immediate attention, because that caused me and those around me the most pain, and they were the ones that I really needed to focus on in this step for them to be asked to be removed in the next step. So you don't just like do this step and then all of a sudden your shit will be removed. But what is a funny way, the universe gives you opportunities to learn to not behave those ways. And that's what it is. It's a learning process, because there's no point in you just going like, oh, God, so come and reach inside and take away those things. You need to learn to do the other way. And that's what happens. All of a sudden, you just keep getting these fucking opportunities, these where you can apply what you've used in these steps to act a different way. And you'll find that they'll come thick and fast. So be prepared. The fucking most pain I found emotionally was in my recovery, because the old way, you could just like, oh, I can fucking do that if I'm drunk or stoned or whatever. That's cheating, mate. That's what we need to do. So, but that's just the way that I did it. You might find another way, and you do that with your sponsor or your trusted person. So anyway, that's about that step. I hope I've explained it all right. Just run through the last few things. The spiritual principles. We need more commitment. And this is where, you know, after the lengthiness of our step 4 and 5, we need perseverance, willingness, faith, trust, and our self-acceptance grows. We maintain self-awareness throughout this step. You know, if you're doing it daily, don't feel ashamed as well. especially when you act out. You know, you've been acting a certain way for all your previously life. To get ashamed of yourself or upset for acting out in the way that you've been programmed all your life, it's just like shouting at your computer for pressing the on button and it turning on. What you fucking doing, you stupid metal wanker? Why are you turning on? Well, because you just fucking press the on button, mate. Why are you shouting at me? Because you... I wanted you to fucking do something different. Fucking HP bellend. Sorry, went off on then, didn't I? But anyway, that's what it's like. Don't get upset. Just keep practicing, keep learning, and eventually you'll slowly get there. So moving on to step 7, they're very closely linked. If we struggle with this and learning about ourselves and thinking, oh, we don't like that, recommit this to this program and remember our why and our self, our higher self. Ask yourself a few questions. This is a good thing to always keep in your locker at all times. What qualities do I want to work with and focus on? So I want to be more sociable. I want to be able to go out in public. I want more friendships. I want to connect with more people. So I put myself out there. I go to events. I go to things that I know I'm going to be triggered and uncomfortable with. And from that, I've developed new relationships, new friendships and everything like that. That's what we want to work on. But you've got to find yours. What do you want to work on? What qualities is it that you've got that you see expanding and growing in the future? And what vision of myself do I have 5 years ago? Well, probably about 3 years ago. Now, what do I want to be doing? I wanted to be a qualified electrician. I wanted to be working harder. Now things have slightly changed where I want to be leaning more into the spiritual world and getting myself prepared for the future. So what did I do? I went and did a breathwork course. And then moving forward from that, where do I see myself in 5 years' time? You know, and all these things, you've got to have visions. And what type of person do you see yourself being? And what kind of person do I see myself like in the future? This version of our true higher self, serving others and living our life purpose, can be ongoing inspiration. So keep it good to us. Keep it close to us. You know, my vision for the future, hopefully one day I'll be able to make a living from helping people out, spiritually improving, learning more about themselves. Main thing, get fucking as many people as possible to a 12-step fellowship, because it'll really help save your life. That's it. Rambled on again. 42 minutes. How am I able to talk so long? I just scribbled some notes here. I want to call myself out for some things I've said in previous episodes. So in one of the episodes, I was talking about, in my addiction, playing the mental health card. But I was like, oh, the same bullshit mental health card. But I was clearly mentally unwell. I was battling addiction and I couldn't stop drinking at the weekend. So it wasn't bullshit mental health card. I was suffering with what I now know is complex post-traumatic stress disorder. I was suffering with anxiety, with depression, and really in a really spiritually, mentally and emotionally bad place. The fact that I was even going to work anyway, despite all that shit, was not bullshit mental health. I still struggle with my mental health. I have therapy every week. I'm doing the best I can. So to call it playing the bullshit mental health card, I just want to call myself out on that. But, you know, whilst you're talking and you haven't really got much of a script, you're just rambling, stuff comes out. I was, you know, at the same time, I was fucking hungover or dying because I was drinking all weekend. I was self-medicating. So I was mentally unwell. So, yeah, I just wanted to call that. And also, I've had lots of people emailing me and messaging and stuff like that, doubting our past friendship. And maybe I've been in a victim. And like I said, I am talking to the person who doesn't know me, or, you know, this is who this is for. The person who is fucked out there, struggling with their addictions, is not meant to be having a dig at some people. I aware that this might be a byproduct, but I'm talking for like fucking 40 plus minutes an episode most of the time. I've got to just ramble with my brain fucking running on overload. So anyway, maybe I'm just focusing on the bad things, or I've not painted a good picture, but I'm sorry, this is for a particular type of audience. This is not pick out. I've never mentioned any names or people or places or anything like that which isn't general. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that, and yeah, and just apologize if I've upset or hurt anybody in the process, but it's not my intention. My intention is to try and help people from the future, not go over past events. I just have to talk about it so it's in context. But anyway, I'm going to shut up, come to a breathwork, come to check my website, follow me on Instagram at Not Very Spiritual on YouTube in probably, I'd say, at the latest by August 2024, we should have a YouTube channel. I've already got the basics. Release them pretty much all at once. See what happens there. But anyway, it's my first episode. I've got to edit myself, so hope it's all right. Hope the volume's okay. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. A few people have messaged me saying the volume's really low. Spotify and other things have an in-app volume setting on computer especially, so make sure that that is up on your tablet and computer. I'm not sure about the phones. Yeah, make sure your volume settings up, because it's fine for everybody, for most people. So check your own thing. And I've got to edit all this in the next 36 hours and have it up and running. So I'm going to shut up. Lots of love. Thanks for joining me. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. Any questions, message me directly. Go on the website, which will be coming in the outro, notveryspiritual.com. And yeah, at notveryspiritual on Instagram. But I'll leave it there. Lots of love to you all. Thanks again. Thanks for Luke tuning in. Take care. Thank you for taking some of your valuable time to listen to the Not Very Spiritual podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, maybe learned something new, and that you leave feeling inspired and excited to listen to the next episode. I would be grateful if you could share it with any people or groups that you feel could benefit from listening to what I have to say. I was lucky enough to be blessed with the gift of recovery, and this has changed my life beyond my wildest dreams. It's literally free and accessible to almost anyone, anywhere, with a desire to recover. I hope I can help inspire and motivate people into seeking a new way to live and enjoy life. So please download, comment, like, subscribe, and you can also join the community for free at www.notveryspiritual.com or on Instagram at notveryspiritual. If you're willing to try out a free online breathwork session with me, the details are on the Breathe More Love page of the website. Here, you can also join the WhatsApp group, where I post all of my playlists, details of upcoming events, and also the breathwork session recordings that can be viewed at any time. Before I leave, one final reminder from me to you. Whatever you or your loved ones are going through in life right now, nothing is permanent. There is help out there, change is possible, and finally, we do recover. If nobody has told you today, I love you, and I look forward to seeing you again soon. Let's keep getting better together.